So if you have any suggestions, john@thefightnetwork.com, way@thefightnetwork.com, or go and join the official Ask Away.
No.
What's it called?
This is not Ask Away.
We could change the name. We could change the group.
We're not.
We should come up with
Ask Away. That's
no.
Like,
this, you're not asking me anything.
I'm asking you what we should review next
week. No. It should be maybe Review Away.
Review Away.
That's not bad, actually. Review Away.
It's just as bad as anything that's been used with my name.
Review Away. I like it a lot.
So am I still waiting? Waiting a long time.
Waiting for tonight.
Listen to Review Away.
Welcome, folks, to the 5th anniversary edition of Review Away. I am John Pollock with my partner of 5 years, Wei Ting. And this is romantic, Wei. Here we are, sitting on a couch, together, in person. Beautiful view of the city. We've got a look at so many wrestling tapes in front of us, and we're about to sit back and watch 1 hour, 48 minutes, and 28 seconds that comprise the Brawl for It All.
No. The Brawl for All.
Oh, well, I think we're going to hear many mistakes throughout this thing. That is something we're going to try and keep count of. How many times they mistakenly identify this tournament as the Brawl for It All. But I think this is going to be fun.
This is going to be a slightly different review. And first of all, I mean, let me just say congratulations, John. 5 years. A very, what do they call this? Like, is there, like, a name for a 5 year? Like,
someone on the message board says the Wood anniversary.
What?
The Wood.
What
you know,
that?
You have the Silver anniversary, the Gold anniversary. We're way down there. We're at Wood.
Wood?
But I'd like to say this podcast has lasted more than many people's relationships out there, you would think. 5 years. That's no empty task. And we have missed 1 week during that time. The ill-fated Jim Crockett Promotions documentary. The one where I lost my fucking mind when we lost the show.
Oh, yeah.
Where we tried a foreign studio, and that was the one and only time we missed a week.
I'd say that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good strong track record.
And you know, if you include all the bonus shows we've done, all 3 hour MMA Expo, you know.
3 hours. Dude, that was like 5 hours.
Yeah.
That was the one I nearly passed out afterwards,
That resulted in you and I having a bit of a scuffle.
That's true.
That review and impact.
It's true. Wei Ting reached his John Pollock limit.
Anyway, but, you know, I'd say we're way more than consistent. So,
look what time it is.
Enjoy
this
that.
This is just all the planets in alignment here.
3:16, 3 p.m. Oh, sorry, 3 hours 16 minutes.
Of course, the connection being that Austin 3:16, real name Steve Williams, Brawl for All, designed for Dr. Death Steve Williams to win and have a program with the other Steve Williams, Steve Austin of 3:16 fame.
Wow, you just like,
what a fucking loser.
Yeah, not what I was gonna say.
Me and Wei are ready. We are all pumped up because we just finished jiu-jitsu, where I tapped out after 60 minutes, but Wei Ting, the goddamn machine here, went 90 minutes, friggin' put me on a school bus and took me to a place of education. I mean, you are slick, Wei.
No, not really.
I was explaining afterwards to a coach that I was on the mat doing basic arithmetic, and Wei was just out calculusing me. You're super fast, Wei.
I'm really not.
No.
The only difference between us is just the amount of time that we put into it.
Oh, right? Yeah, you've
But it's not even that much more. Like, we're both just beginners. I'm just a beginner.
I think you're above beginner level.
Not really. But I don't know. I mean, you don't need to always, you know, kind of humble yourself like that. I think you should actually, you know, be a bit more.
I was told that by this coach. Like, you need to stop being so self-deprecating.
Yeah, you totally should.
But I'm just realistic. I'm not going to be someone that's like, oh, boy, watch out. John Pollock's here.
That would be the opposite.
I like kind of being at that lower level where I'm trying to progress, but I'm realistic about my... It drives me nuts.
But you're not realistic though, because I think you're you know, you put yourself down unnecessarily.
Well, it's not a confidence issue if that's what you're concerned about. I'm just self aware of where I am. I am a fucking
no. You're very. I had a great time. You know, practicing with you today. We partnered up. You know, worked on our.
I was happy with the drills. I think I kind of got them.
Totally.
And then we rolled, and that was where I just...
We didn't even really roll.
No, I wouldn't call it that, because you just had your way with me.
I didn't.
You were just, man, pulling guard on me. It's like, you could have had... You could have robbed me if we were on the street.
You're doing it again. You're you know, you're being... you're going...
I embarrassed Way. I sent him crying to the change room, considering, man, I shouldn't even be doing jiu-jitsu anymore. That's how great I was today.
No, but I mean, why even feel the need to, you know, compare ourselves? Why not just kind of talk about your own experience and, you know, because we're all, I'm going to sound so like such a hippie here, but like we're all on our own individual paths, individual journeys.
We come together to form a puzzle during class.
But I mean, come on! Please.
It's my automatic reaction. I'll be honest. Whenever someone tends to give me a compliment, my automatic reaction is to point out something wrong with what they are bringing up. I feel very awkward.
No,
when people say,
"Do me a favor, maybe for the next 5 years, of this podcast."
Just
don't do that.
Have a big head.
No, don't. That's not the opposite here. I know, like, I'm kind of like you, where, like, I'm kind of uncomfortable receiving compliments, but...
You're very much like that. Anytime I've ever brought up to you about doing more, whether it be on-camera work, any kind of performance things, you are so negative to that. You believe... You always talk yourself down. So maybe you should also, over the next 5 years, say yes.
Definitely.
When things are proposed, you shoot things down whenever I say that stuff, and you're very you're very talented, and I think you don't necessarily appreciate some of your skills.
Well, thank you. We'll leave the complimenting maybe to the listeners for our feedback, because I imagine there'll be a lot of that on this episode.
God,
but what I mean is,
let's start insulting each other a bit, because I think people are thinking, man, this is gonna be 3 hours of me and Wei just like circle jerking here. So let's, bad term, let's get into the brawl for all. Yeah. Wei, explain for the people at home so that they are in sync here. We are going to watch this live here on this beautiful television screen.
You got a beautiful
TV. We've never done this before.
We've never done a live review. I mean, this is essentially what I guess you would call a commentary track. And if you would like to watch along, look up the Brawl for All video that is currently on YouTube. It's...
Just type in Brawl for All.
You know, it's going to suck if, like, the WWE decides to take that video down at some point. This review will be completely negated, useless. But anyway, look up Brawl for All WWF.
/ WWE Boxing.
Yeah, and that's on YouTube, and it's like a whole 2-hour file. If you're in China or any other country that bans YouTube... I'm sorry, you're just going to have to
just
appreciate this.
Just hold on to our hands and we'll take you through the ride.
And we will be watching, and we're going to count down from 10, okay? Because it makes it seem that much more important, like a blast off. And at the count, when I reach when I say blast off, that's when you're going to hit play.
Okay.
And we're all going to watch this together. So that means, John, we can't stop once we started this review. We're going to be sitting here the entire time.
Yeah, and I've just had like 3 coffees, and we've also got alcohol in front of us, so...
It's a bad combination.
If I disappear for 2 minutes, you're just going to have to hang tight and just...
There's going to be a lot of silence.
Storm through.
We're going to have a commercial break.
Well, we can lean on Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler.
Okay, all right. So, here we go. In 10, 9, 8, 7, 6... 5, 4, 4.
That was 2 4s.
3, 2, 1. Blast off.
All right, so we've got Steve Blackman with the Saved by the Bell set in the background doing some shadow boxing and punching the lockers.
So, hey, let's talk a little bit about LeBrawl for All in general. How did it all come about? And why? Yeah, aside from the, what we know about them wanting to put Dr. Death over.
Oh, let's go through the rules that we have on the 3 1-minute rounds, and then the point system is such. Most punches per round will get 5 points. A takedown is worth 5. Knockdown's worth 10 points, and a knockout ends the brawl.
Why are you allowed takedowns?
This is that,
because this was not designed to be boxing. It was supposed to be very much like incorporating wrestling into it as well as boxing. And we're going to
Why did they do that?
Well, because there were a lot of wrestlers in this. As we mentioned, Dr. Death Steve Williams was one of the focal points of this.
Why not just do MMA?
It's kind of what this is, isn't it?
No.
This is they don't want groundwork. They wanted this was 1998 way. They don't exactly want to see some De La Hiva guards.
That stuff is boring.
We've got Mark Merrill, and boy, what a tribute here to our main man SP here with this physique. This was Mark Merrill during...
Who's that?
SP. Scott Putz.
Oh.
Come on. Oops. I'm sure there will be many of them in this particular tournament. This was as Mark Merrill had split off from Sable and was paired with Jacqueline, and this was the move from NWO Hollywood Mark Merrill to NWO Wolfpack
Merrill. This was the heartbroken Mark Merrill, so you don't know what he's capable of. He's got a broken heart.
And here we have the lethal weapon, Steve Blackman, his opponent. Look at that physique. This is a man who would go on to train current UFC featherweight Dennis Bermudez. And looking jacked as well. And, man, wearing shorts where if we get a close-up, you can probably see what religion the man is.
Who's the guy cornering Mark Merrill?
I don't know who it is. They got Danny Hodge in there as the referee.
Mark Merrill's
got a corner, man.
Isn't Mark Merrill like a legit Golden Gloves boxer?
Yes, he was a Golden Gloves boxer. June the 29th of 1998, so this was the night after the King of the Ring, where Foley got thrown off a cage.
And Blackman's background is just what? What type of martial art? He goes for a takedown.
Look at that, takedown and right into side control. Look in the leg, we legit like we're doing this today.
But what's Blackman's background?
Karate? He was involved in, I don't know if it was karate, I don't even know what his specialty was, if it was even...
Blackman's just going for takedowns here. He wants none of the stand-up.
This is our classic wrestler versus striker here, because Mark Merrill, I would imagine, very little takedown
there's
skill.
There's a sprawl.
Look at that. He's going for those crossovers. This would be 2 takedowns at this point, so 10 points for Steve Blackman. These are 1-minute rounds. These are extremely quick rounds.
You know what's messed up, though, is the fact that like these guys are actually colleagues. They're actually co-workers, you know? And I you would assume friends backstage... normally having to cooperate with each other. Now all of a sudden you put them in one of the, a context like this where they have to compete. And in a case like this, you basically see Steve Blackman kind of embarrassing Mark Merrill.
Dude, 1-minute rounds are really goddamn quick.
Yeah.
Round's already over. Steve Blackman, I think, scoring about 15 points in that opening round to Mark Merrill's none.
I remember watching some of this stuff like back then and just being confused because I was never a boxing fan. I was confused because I was so used to the pace and the energy and the flash of pro wrestling. And this
look at his spit bucket. It looks more like look at that. He landed more punches, Blackman did, plus he got 4 takedowns. So 25 points. Mark Merrill scored none after 1 round as we get set for the second here.
And this was just nothing like that. So I don't know how entertaining, you know, this crowd even found it.
No, that was the deal. I mean, for a lot of these, I mean, the crowd checked out of these where there were lots of boring chants. You didn't really have an audience that was educated to this.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not forget, I mean, this was 1998 where the UFC was in its darkest period. You really didn't have even an outside audience that I think would really appreciate this. This was extremely niche and just based on the idea of which guy in the locker room is the toughest guy.
Merrill's basically completely unprepared with his takedown defense.
Look at him going for the home run shot here. I love Jerry Lawler calling this stuff. Look at Blackman.
Hey, so I mean, you know, those of you curious how Jim Ross sounds calling MMA before his actual debut with Chael, this is pretty much a preview of that.
I love that Danny Hodge is the referee. 75-year-old Danny Hodge. Jesus Christ. Blackman just took him down another three times in this second round. Crowd is booing this particular exhibition. This is not a very exciting fight to kick things off.
Yeah, it's just a lot of takedowns. But, you know, in terms of strategy, it's pretty smart. You don't want to get hurt, you know, hit. This is what... How often, was this a tournament bracket?
Yes. Yeah, I'm sure they'll show us the brackets at some particular point here. Ooh.
So, yeah, John, talk a little about, like, how this even came about, you know? Why does this exist?
I think it was just an idea that they had at the time. I don't know whose specific idea it was because nobody takes credit for it now because of all the problems that came out of it. But here it was offered to a bunch of the guys in the locker room. They had the option of signing up or not. And these were the ones who decided to go ahead and
really?
Do it.
Really? Like, certainly, though, there must have been limitations. Like, there's no way, you know, a main eventer, even if you wanted to, would be able to sign up for this.
I'm sure they wouldn't have expected any main event guys to do it, nor would there be that incentive to do it.
Now, what incentive is there even for, like, a Mark Marrow to do this?
Well, I mean, you look at this right now, and it was, you know, for these guys, I don't know if there was some kind of separate bonus system in place for some of these guys, whether those were worked bonus figures or not, that you might have some financial incentive to do this. And if you're a Steve Blackman, and, you know, you think, hey, I can hold my own in this tournament, I might get a push coming out of this. I mean, that was probably the hope for some of these guys.
Yeah.
Mark Marrow is very tired here, but as is Steve Blackman here. And that ends our fight. Pretty unspectacular performance here, but Steve Blackman should run away with this particular decision.
Yeah. People booing.
Do you realize that the entire fight was the length of one round of a women's contest back before they had 5-minute rounds?
What are you talking about? Like three minutes? Basically, they fought for 3 minutes.
They had 3 3-minute rounds for the women before they increased them to 5.
No, and this was 3 1-minute rounds?
Yes.
Wow.
So Steve Blackman was announced our winner. So he will move on. And Mark Marrow, I guess that's all for Mark Marrow in the brawl for all.
Yeah, it kind of screws up your whole, training when you throw in takedowns in there.
Yeah, and let's not forget, these guys were all working house shows at the time. It's not like they got time off to prepare for this. I mean, Bart Gunn would eventually get time off to prepare for Butterbean, but these guys are all, they're on the road, and tonight you're going to do a 3-minute fight.
Was there any government sanction?
No, there was not. As we will see later when Carl Ouellette and his one eye are sanctioned to fight. And here is JBL getting set for his fight. Who is he taking on? Oh, we have Henry Godwin.
Oh, my God.
Henry Godwin.
Seriously?
Some insane... Oh, this is all in the same night.
Oh, look at the sky.
Look at the overhead camera shot here.
Yeah. A lot of production.
Wow, Blackman with his double legs. This is the underhooks by Mark Marrow. He knew that much. He landed a few strikes. So this was Bradshaw, who, of course, at this time had one of the reps for being one of the toughest guys in the locker room. Always had the bully reputation. Here is Henry Godwin. Hog.
Look at nothing like the... Oh, Mark Canterbury.
Mark Canterbury. Shoot names here. This guy who had a broken neck the year prior. Let's put him in a legitimate fight.
What's he up to these days?
He was in a nasty car wreck about 2 years ago, and I haven't heard too many health updates on him since that time. It was bad enough that I think he had problems with his liver and was in serious condition, and obviously not wrestling any longer.
And do we know either of these men's training backgrounds?
JBL, football, and...
Stocks.
And training. Fucking around with Public Enemy a few years later. And a part of the new Blackjacks at this point.
And he
has the initials BJ on his trunks.
We know he could throw a punch from the whole Blue Meanie fiasco.
This was all.
I literally have no recollection other than who wins this tournament, like how these fights ever went. Like, I was not really
God,
that.
God, look at this.
This is just the sloppiest strikes you've ever seen.
This is World Star.
God, Mark Canterbury is going to get. His hands are so low here. If Bradshaw has any sense of how to throw a hook, this thing's going to be over.
You wonder how many, like. Clearly, neither of these men have any training at all.
No, Jim Ross just flat out saying they're out of their element. But the round is half over already. God, Mark Canterbury, I think, is wearing blue sweatpants and a t-shirt with cut-off sleeves, which, if you remember Mark Canterbury's physique, probably not an enhancing look. Oh, look at this. Look at this. Going for the single leg. God,
really
can't even get him off.
Really bad single leg.
Well, at least he's bad at everything thus far. Danny Hodge. He could probably win this fight. God, who won that round, Way?
I mean, it at least looked like Bradshaw was a bit more composed, but it looks like he's completely gassed. Right?
God, Bradshaw's going to vomit. Dude, well, we have the stationary cornermen here. God, I think Mark Merrill would have had his way with either of these guys. Bad bracketing here. Holy shit. Dude, Bradshaw, like, landed he landed more punches. So Bradshaw gets the first round with 5 points. Unofficial results, folks.
Yeah, he looks dead. He just pops right back up.
Huffing, puffing. All right, Lawler's calling for the knockout. You will need some kind of form for that. What a stupid idea this was.
This is great.
God, these are the fights I want to see, though. I don't want to... Oh, look at that! Right hook, right to the jaw of Mark Canterbury, who's getting overwhelmed now. But hey, God, it does have a chin. I mean, he did take a few shots. He's not taking them down at all. Not with that technique. Oh, just goes right into the corner. Dude, look, we have tennis shoes and we have cowboy boots being worn here.
You still have to live your gimmick, man.
Bradshaw's wearing fucking cowboy boots. God, I wonder if he'll kick him. Okay, well, this will be a round for Bradshaw.
What does the J stand for?
Blackjack.
Oh, right.
Whew.
Wow. Why doesn't he just sit down? Oh,
yeah,
God.
Let's take another look at this. There was one big right hand that did land in that round on Canterbury. Oh, right behind the ear, too. That was a
he looks like he's...
Ben Rothwell special.
Yeah, this sucks, man.
Are you ready for round three? Jesus Christ. I'm glad these are one-minute rounds. Could you imagine five-minute rounds?
I don't even know if we can make it through the whole thing.
I think we're hearing a Goldberg chant right now. I would probably be switching over to check out Nitro at this point. I don't know. What do you think in 1998, Way? Like a 14-year-old version of yourself. Was this interesting to you if you were watching at the time?
I think it was interesting because it was unique, but I don't think I'd watch...
Canterbury with a takedown! Wow!
Yeah, I don't think I'd watch too much of this. It's just... I don't think I would have understood it at that age. Nor would I have been really interested to see two guys that I don't even really know in a wrestling sense.
If Canterbury can get one more takedown, he theoretically could tie this up because...
How does that make
Bradshaw
sense?
Bradshaw has 10 points.
But why is a takedown worth as much as being able to
land the most strikes? I don't know. Is there a scoring system? I would love... could you imagine if they had done a WWE Jiu-Jitsu tournament?
Yeah.
Just white belts.
That'd be pretty ugly.
Oh, look at this. He's going to win with those fucking two punches. With those two shitty punches to his arm. Oh, that sucked. Out goes the mouth guard of Bradshaw. No breakdown of the points. Do we get at least a summary? Bradshaw will live to fight another day.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, let's see the highlights here of these punches to his arm that might have won him the fight. Look at those, Wei. Oh, he landed one to the side of the head. Oh my God, Bradshaw's going back to just puke.
Was there no concern for, like, injuries?
There was zero concern, Wei. Tons of guys got hurt in this. I think Canterbury was one of them who got hurt in this thing. Oh, this fucking guy, Brakus. This was this guy that Vince McMahon fell in love with, sent to the dungeon in Calgary to train, and then they came up with no ideas for him, sent him to ECW for a cup of coffee, but look at this guy.
Yeah, I'd say he's the leading
like
candidate.
A Rob Terry physique. This guy is clearly our Putski Award winner. And here comes Savio Vega, who had nothing happening in 1998.
All these guys, like, all of a sudden have to look really tough. Because, I mean, I remember all these guys just kind of looking like cartoon characters and smiling, walking to the ring. Now they got to look.
Savio's not waving the Puerto Rican flag. No Barriquas with him in the corner. Okay, this was July the 6th of 1998 as we move ahead a week. Look at Brakus. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy this guy gassing.
No weight classes, obviously.
Of course not. God, this... It's like a hell of a disparity here. Oh, Brakus nice. There. Gets the takedown. Why wouldn't it? Thank you, Jerry Lawler here. Some expert analysis. Spoiler, they are not trained boxers.
Look, what is Brakus looking to do here? What's he doing?
Just I think he's just trying to get control of his waist for another takedown, but has no defense here, eating a lot of strikes from Savio, who has zero form. This is just wild. Oh. Ooh, a big, big right to nice. The jaw, but Brakus is still standing. Holy shit, Brakus is getting lit up. Savio is going to win this round. I guess it'd be even, right? Because that's fucked. Because look at all the strikes at Savio. Oh, yeah. That was a 10-9 Savio round. But he's going to get 5 for the most punches. And Brakus is going to get 5 for that takedown. This point system is stupid. It's going to be even going into the second based on that. But way more damage by Savio. Holy Christ, man. Brakus ate some shots there. Like, no, didn't have his hands up. Oh, look, going through the ropes, looking for the break. Oh, look at that. Saved by the bell reference. Stupid concept, but I'm glad this happened.
Yeah, it is tied.
5-5, going into round number 2 here. Danny Hodge, like, flowing around week by week. That was ungodly bad by Brakus, the takedown attempt. I almost think you'd get better fights if they just went straight 3 minutes rather than had these breaks where their adrenaline wears down and then they have to reignite themselves at the start of a round. I don't know if these one-minute rest periods are helpful or not for these guys because these guys are having nothing after the first round. Brakus is dead. Yeah, that was a tumble. That's what that was. We need a graphic to keep us up to date on these points. CompuStrike numbers. I'm concerned that Brakus could have a heart attack here in the ring. Look at the weight this guy has. Oh, no. God. Another Savio round, but that's just... Look at Brakus, man. He's just a mess here. This shouldn't even be continuing. It's like equilibrium is off. Look at these strikes he's taking. What the hell is this guy doing in a fight? This is criminal. Absolutely criminal.
Savio looks all right, though.
He's fine. I think he has a boxing background. I'm not up on my Savio Vega fight history, but I believe he has a boxing background. Bloody nose on Brakus. Looks to have a black eye as the swelling in his left eye is forming. Lovely. All right, Savio's up 10-5 here going into our final round. 15-5, I'm sorry.
Another take.
Oh, man. Division 1 there. Look at that takedown. That was amazing. Guy needs to learn some sprawl tactics. Brakus is just completely gas. He is the most gassed I've seen of any of our six fighters so far. I love this. I want to watch Brockus go 12 1-minute rounds. Oh, oh. Danny Hodge, step in here.
That was a knockdown.
So that will be... That's 10 points, right, for a knockdown?
Well, we know Brockus only has 5 points so far, so...
I think Brockus is mathematically out of it at this point, with 5 seconds to go, and Savio will advance easily. Yikes. Well, Brockus... I think at the end of this, we should talk about who was the least prepared. I think Brockus is our front runner.
Yeah, I put Henry Godwin up there, too.
Nice. Savio Vega. Where's his legit name? Kind of back and forth here with our legitimate names. Who's up next? Oh!
Sting!
It's Road Sting. Warrior Hawk in fucking face paint. God. 50-50 shot. He could be inebriated. Look at this image of a guy in his wrestling tights, boxing gloves, and makeup taking on draws.
Puke.
He's gonna puke. Oh, Fully Loaded is coming up. Brought to you by Skittles. Taste the pain, Bo. Oh, it's beer time. Wei is drinking a Shock Top, folks, while I have got the Sleeman Honey Brown Lager for this performance, which I guess, apropos that this Brawl for All would lead into the Legion of Doom infighting, which would eventually lead to a drunk Hawk climbing the Titantron and falling to his supposed death, but then would be revived.
Mm-hmm.
A future Raw review.
Look at Hawk fainting.
Hawk. Look at Hawk just swarming him here with shots. Man, this is Bonner Griffin in comparison to the last fight. Ooh, look at that. Whoa, hey, man, Hawk is like...
360.
Hawk is avoiding some nice strikes here. He's at least got head movement, which is more than I can say for any of these other guys. Hawk has had many, many a fight backstage with guys, just randomly punching guys. Like, he's gotten into a fight with Brian Pillman, Eddie Guerrero. He just likes to hit people.
Mouthpieces are for sissies. You hear that?
Mouthpieces are for sissies. Oh, takedown by draws, so he'll get 5 points. I hate this takedown rule now.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way you should be getting 5 points for a takedown. Look at that. The last 5 seconds. Draws ties up the round. This is totally a great ADD style review.
This is just, like, really boring, to be honest.
Are you bored? I'm not bored.
This is just, like, really boring boxing. It's not really, like, that... you know.
Why didn't Draws get the points for the takedown? That was clearly a takedown, but Hawk got 5 points.
Well, these are unofficial results.
Well, this is kind of bullshit. Oh, did you see that?
I saw the sprawl, yeah.
Just remember, this is 1998. These guys' fight IQ is probably based on seeing a UFC pay-per-view from years ago, and that's about it, and their own personal experience in a boxing gym.
I don't even
maybe.
Know that much.
Maybe.
Oh!
Hawk got rocked. I'm amazed that Hawk entered this tournament where these guys, it was always about protecting their gimmick and, you know, not selling for a lot of babyface tag teams. And to put yourself in this kind of a position, I mean, it kind of shows you where Hawk's head was at this time.
Yeah, I probably really believed him.
Yeah. Well, nothing happened in that round. Draws is looking pretty tired after two.
Could you imagine a whole pay-per-view of this?
No, I couldn't.
It's essentially what we're watching right now.
Yeah, it's about 2 hours. We're already like a half hour into this,
though. Are we really?
Let's take a look at our timing here. 25 minutes.
All right.
Are you tapping out already, Way?
I just...
You're not enjoying this, are you?
It's just...
No, it's great.
Oh, this might be our second broken nose of the tournament. It draws his hair at this point in time. Okay, it's tied going into the third round unofficially. But no takedowns have been registered, even though draws appeared to have
what
a takedown.
What was the prize at the end of all this? Was there, like, prize money? What?
I believe there was some kind of prize money. Why don't you look up on your phone the Brawl for All and find out the details? There's a Wikipedia page for it, and that can give us some background on... Oh! Draws just spit out his mouthpiece! He puked it out. What an idiot. These guys. Only in WWF are you going to see two guys discard their mouthpieces as they throw leather at one another. Oh, God. Hawk's nose looks like it's about to fall off right now. They just showed a nasty close-up of his nose. Oh, God. Oh, I think Hawk might squeeze by here, which is sad, because that will mean he will have to fight again.
According to John Bradshaw Layfield, Vince Russo came up with the idea when Layfield wanted to create a hardcore wrestling division in the WWF. When asked about it, Bruce Pritchard stated, "We're going to put you in gloves, and it's going to be a legit fight." Participation in the tournament was strictly voluntary.
Nice hug at the end with Hawk and Draws. Check out Hawk's nose if they do a close-up way. A draw?
A draw. What? Draw for draws.
Draw for draws. Does that mean both are out? I guess so.
All right. What's next?
The Brawl for All continues.
I've just seen a bunch of shitty fights so far, man.
Did you have high expectations? Here we go. The ringer, Bart Gunn. And we got Shawn Michaels on commentary.
Oh, boy.
Boy, who had a fight the year prior in the locker room with Bret Hart where he lost some hair. No one had any clue what Bart Gunn was going to do in this tournament, so this first fight should be fun. Who does he have in the first round? Does he have Dr. Death, or was that a later tournament fight? I'm excited here. Oh, Bob Holly with something growing out of his hair.
Look at those locks.
Holy shit, man. A Ken doll here. Bob Holly. This guaranteed was the fight that the locker room was probably most excited to see, because I'm sure most of them saw Bart Gunn as a pretty decent, tough guy, and Bob Holly as just a prick that everyone would want to see in this kind of a fight. And this, of course... The new Midnight Express. Bombastic Bart and Bodacious Bob, I think. That was what these guys were doing at the time. Midnight Express 2000, or the new Midnight Express. God, does Bob Holly look young here. That hair. This looks like two guys that are just ready to fight.
They look like two zombies.
Oh, look at that. Shoved them from behind.
Wow.
No commission should allow that. We are at July 13th of 98. Yeah, fuck those submissions. Ooh. Well, Bob Holly with at least a boxing stance, which is more than I can say for most of these guys.
A lot of body shots.
Okay, this is already the most technical fight we've seen, Way. Guy actually is putting up his guard.
Man.
Oh, look at Holly getting rocked here with combinations from Gunn. And Holly's now going for body shots.
Holly's just like ducking way too low, but Bart doesn't care.
Ooh. Head movement by Holly. These are two guys that were actually seem prepared for this.
I don't know about Bob Holly.
Better than I think we've seen thus far in terms of...
No power at all in any of his punches. I think his head movement, he's just lowering his whole body.
All I would have needed to see if I was in this tournament was those 60 seconds of Bart Gunn to realize I don't want to be paired with this man. Bart Gunn was jacked at this point.
Bart Gunn looks like a wall.
Like, think of Hardcore Holly, who you definitely think of his physique, and Bart Gunn is just giant next to him. That's what the new Midnight Express should have been. Two shooters. Okay, Bart Gunn won the first round.
Oh, they don't even list.
They're not even going through the breakdown. Maybe they eliminated takedowns at this point. No one cares about takedowns, maybe. I guess. All right, here's round two. I'm looking forward to this. Danny Hodge missing in action here. We got Jack Doan as the referee. Holly's just covering up. He's attacking the body here, not having much effect on Gunn, who doesn't seem to. Ooh, good left hand with Bart.
Yeah,
it's a southpaw here, which is gonna give guys problems. Hit him right on the side of the ear there. Bob Hawley's done interviews about this tournament, just talking about. I think when he was on our show, I think he talked about this a little bit. Just that, you know, he was one of many that thought this was all designed to get Dr. Death over and that none of them had a chance anyway, that they'd work it if they had to.
Okay, and this clearly wasn't worked?
Clearly not. Oh, Bart's just pounding on him in the corner right now. Bob Hawley not looking as good in round two as he did in the first.
I didn't think he looked very good in the first either, man. Look at that hair. Jeez. Dying it blonde. Dying that mullet blonde didn't really help.
Yeah. But boy, he looks 10 years younger with that hair, though, than the bald look.
I don't know about that.
It just looks like fake hair to me.
He was already balding at this point.
Oof, look at these fucking left hands that Bart Gunn is connecting with. Oof. I don't think Jerry Lawler, from what I could... Oh, look at that mouse under his right eye. Hardcore Holly is... this is pre-hardcore. I think Lawler's doing okay on commentary. I can't hear Jim Ross that well.
How about Sean?
Sean, I'm just blocking out at this point. No. This is 98. Takedowns are for sissies. Oof. If you read Big John McCarthy's book, he was offered the position Danny Hodge got. How fun would that have been? Big John McCarthy in there. Ugh. Holly's just surviving at this point. Eating a lot of shots from Bart Gunn. But he's going to make it to the end of the fight. 10 seconds to go. These shorts these guys are in. No sponsors, no logos, and wearing their running shoes. Well, an easy win for Bart Gunn. They're pro wrestlers trying to fight. Bodacious Bart, as he is identified. We had to include his ridiculous nickname at the time. Bodacious Bart.
Look at Bob Hawley. Like, he's about to cry.
Oh, boy.
He looks like Robert Smith with the dyed blonde do.
Bart Gunn won with 15 points. Bob Hawley with 0.
I'm surprised we have yet to see one knockout so far.
No, those are to come. Oh, Jesus, a post-match brawl. Holly just socked him right in the face. I'm sure they planned that out. Oh, this would lead to the tag team breakup. Bodacious and bombastic breakup. This is so silly. And there's Danny Hodge. Why isn't he refereeing? What a wacky tournament this is.
Alright, so how many more matches do we have in the first round?
Dan Severn is up next against the Godfather, Charles Wright. It There's Edge, who is not participating in this tournament, just hanging out in the crowd. This was when he was the mute. Wei Ting is already tapped out of this tournament.
No, I'm here.
So it'll be me for the next hour. Were you watching at this point in time, Wei?
No, not really. I tuned out. Was he the godfather with the hose, or was he just the
godfather? He was the godfather in the nation at this point. Pre-hose.
Oh, okay.
Post-Papa Shango. Though him as Papa Shango taking on Dan Severn would be something. Dan Severn, one of the weirdest people.
Looks like he could barely walk.
God, he's waddling to the ring. Stoic look on his face. Mustache still looks like $1 million. Look at this, a UFC promo. This Friday, Night of Champions.
Wow, what's that about? Was that an agreement?
There was at this point in time that they did, it wasn't really even cross-promotion, because it wasn't really, the UFC wasn't helping them, but they did promote UFC events for a time. A lot of it with the tie-in with Ken Shamrock, and then later Dan Severn. There were a number of mentions on WWF programming during 97 and 98 for the UFC, who were just dying at this point. This was still when it was owned by Semaphore Entertainment.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, we're going to go to a commercial break. What a tease. All right, Dan Severn wearing his shirt, no less. Oh, God. Hey, Charles Wright avoiding the takedown by Dan Severn.
He's also much taller, but yeah, good.
Ooh, look at Severn. He has no interest in striking here. And he just got rocked by Godfather. Wow. Look at him. He wanted to pull guard there.
Hey, Godfather's looking good.
Godfather's another one who I think did some boxing prior to his pro wrestling days.
Nice.
Coming up in San Jose.
Ooh,
and Severn gets the takedown. He's in half guard. Oh, and they get stood up. None of this guard bullshit. You know, for this kind of a tournament, I guess it makes sense you put Dan Severn in it because of his background. But, man, for a tournament that was designed to just be stand-up friendly, this guy's like the worst guy you would want in this tournament. Look at that. Finishes in side control.
What's he doing? Is he choking him?
Look at this. The round ended and he wouldn't let go. Should have been disqualified. Shawn Michaels is still on commentary. Guess he was on for the entire show here. Godfather looked okay in that round.
Yep.
Dan Severn, my favorite Fight Network radio interview, where he got on the air and we were running late, and we had him on for a grand total of 90 seconds before we said, well, thanks a lot, Dan. Oh, I can do a lot longer. No, we got to go. We're out of time. And then he called me later asking if he can come on the next day. So we'll get back to you, Dan. And the Godfather. Look at these underhooks, Wei. Is there any technique you're taking away from this? Anything in this primitive stage of fighting that you think is applicable to your own training? Ooh, takedown right into the ropes.
Yeah, some of those takedowns, some of those double legs, you know.
Who has looked the best so far? Who have you been most impressed with?
Bart Gunn, probably. Yeah. You know, I think, who was the first guy? What was the first match we saw?
Steve Blackman and Mark Merrill.
Yeah, I thought Blackman's takedowns, you know, look pretty fluid.
Yep.
Everybody else has been... I mean, Savio, too. Savio's been all right for this level.
Severn is certainly the most accomplished guy.
Yeah.
That's in there. Well, I mean, Dr. Death. I mean, his amateur background is stellar. But certainly much older at this point, and with all the wear and tear of his All Japan days.
I mean, you always wonder if amateur wrestling competition would have been more appropriate for this roster. But I guess that wouldn't have been as fan-friendly.
Exactly. They wanted knockouts.
Why even put the takedowns in at all?
It was probably a way to entice a Dan Severn to do this, right?
Why not throw some kicks in there? Why not make it kickboxing?
That would have been great. leg kicks, just destroying these guys.
Why is he? Why do you think he's wearing a shirt? Is it to prevent to increase friction?
He probably forgot to take it off.
What's Godfather's shirt he's wearing?
Maybe it's for a strip club. All right, Dan Severn won the first round. Got 5 points. Well, Severn's engaging a little here. Watch him just do the level change. God, this guy's... If Godfather could read this guy, it's... You could totally catch this guy.
Clinch. Oh,
they get broken up. Whew.
Yeah, I think Godfather's looking good. I mean, I'd be surprised. I'm surprised here. I picture him as the underdog. Oh, and he gets his back.
Oh.
Was that a takedown?
Godfather could have done the roll onto his shoulder into guard.
Yeah.
To close guard. He's got base that hand. Severn's just going for single legs right now. Godfather is tired. But... This crowd hates this. One more round.
Boo.
Of Charles Wright and Dan Severn.
Oh.
Thanks, Sean.
Whole different ball of wax. Oh, that was 3 rounds.
Why? Why? For the takedowns?
Yep. Takedowns are still part of this.
Fuck.
Oh, look at Jim Ross talking about DX instead of a... Oh, here we go, everyone. A one-eyed man is about to go into a legitimate fight. Quebecer Pierre, who is legitimately has only the use of his left eye. This is criminal that this happened in our lifetime.
Is that... What happened to his eye?
I think it was some kind of an accident he had, and yeah, he always has had the patch in his wrestling days. Against Dr. Death. These people should be sent to jail. Fuck. Unbelievable. Barry Switzer.
What was he in relation? He was his coach?
This was when Dr. Death was in university in Oklahoma. He was an incredible... wrestler. On top of that, a phenomenal wrestler. And he would just do both at the same time. And
but he was a phenomenal wrestler and what?
And football player as well.
Okay.
In Oklahoma.
I think he said wrestler twice.
Oh, I meant football player.
What is Dr. Death wearing? I mean, okay, that's an eye patch, but what is Dr. Death wearing? He looks like he's wearing like the Bruno outfit.
The Bruno outfit?
The swimsuit? The Bruno swimsuit?
Those were his trunks at the time. The singlet. This is criminal.
Takedown. Oh, wow, so easy. Man,
he's going to murder Pierre.
Dude, Dr. Death's outfit is terrible. Oh, my God, look at this.
Oh, caught him with a left. Pierre is fucked. Maybe it's his... He has no periphery vision. Oh, this is sick. I'm uncomfortable watching this. Oh, I hope he takes it easy and just takes him down rather than just punches him. God, he can't even see like his left hand coming.
Dude, I don't think the use of both eyes would have really helped.
Maybe not, but the fact is, like, why don't you train with one patch on your eye?
Yeah,
like, this
okay,
is insane.
But still, clearly, he's just...
This is insane. Why is this guy in this tournament?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Oh.
But clearly this guy...
Dr. Death's going for his blind side, too.
He had no skill anyway.
Oh, he reversed him. Wow. Hey, man. Moral victory for Quebecer Pierre.
Oh, boy.
So what was that score? 5-5.
Well, Dr. Death got the most punches, clearly. He also got, I think, 2 takedowns in that round, and Pierre was credited with 1. Well, it was like it was the takedown was for Dr. Death, but then he got reversed. Does that count as a separate takedown?
I mean, Jim Ross
it's not really a takedown.
Jim Ross
watch
said
that. That's the 1.
No, Ross said it was for Pierre.
Well, 15-5 for Dr. Death. Oof. Ducks the punch and.
Nice.
Look, he's ready to hit him before he even gets up.
What the?
This is.
That's not good refereeing.
Oh, poor Pierre. PCO. Ooh. Big right hand from Pierre, who's just swinging wildly and just turns it back to Dr. Death.
Punches to the back of the head.
Sure. That is not true. He was getting paid a lot more in Japan than any American promotions were going to pay him. I love the shoes that some of these guys are wearing, just like regular running shoes. God, his outfit is a little odd. It looks like it's one of those like revealing bikinis he's wearing, or one piece swimsuits. Ugh.
Yeah, man. Like Pierre, simply just he looks like he doesn't want to be here.
Thirty-five to five for Dr. Death. He's running away with this. All right, third round. Saint Pierre. Pierre Carl Saint Pierre. Oh, whoa. Oh, Dr. Death. Whoa.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
Oh.
Shots to the back of the head. Landed about 6 unanswered strikes. Okay. Go with Lawler's unofficial count.
Well, at least he can't get poked in the eye.
That's true. I'm impressed that Pierre is still standing here.
Yeah, I'd say this is worse for a guy's career than any job.
Ooh, look at Pierre. He just wants this to be over. 20 seconds to go.
Oh,
this is... It's not even like...
He's just retreating, man. It's just sad.
Oh, and Dr. Death has no problem just decking this guy in the back of the head. Standing 8 count.
Just doesn't want to do this.
Oh, and they wave it off with 5 seconds to go.
Well, that was the first finish.
Yeah, our first finish goes to Dr. Death.
Come on, man. This guy, though, he just...
You beat a one-eyed man. Well, he certainly does feel like, if you were just watching this live, would come across as the favorite in this tournament. Maybe him and Dan Severn. I don't think Bart Gunn would have been in your top 3. I think most people would assume it was going to come down to Dr. Death and Dan Severn.
From the outset, but by the performances, I didn't think this guy looked that good.
Did you hear that? Val Venus is a land of the rising Venus. Oh Christ, more. We got 8 ball and 2 cold Scorpio.
Oh, they're not even going to.
They're not even going to show the whole fight. They're just showing highlights.
Whoa!
Look at 8 ball. Oh! Oh! Wow. Great judging by Shawn Michaels.
Ah, that's a nice takedown.
Ooh. 8 ball's been drilling the wizard. Oh! Hammer fist to the back of the head. Okay, I'm glad they spared us this fight. I didn't need to see... Look at this. They're showing us a highlight of 3 minutes. That's how bad this fight was, in their opinion. Oh. It also tells you that, contrary to popular belief... The Brawl for All fights were probably not doing dynamite ratings. if they're showing them in highlight form by week number four.
What popular belief is that?
People have said that. Listen, I don't know whether that's true or not of what the quarter hours did, but if they're showing them in highlight form, that tells me they weren't going to waste time on a throwaway 8-ball, 2-cold Scorpio match.
We got Dr. All right, Death.
Dr. Death is back again. This might be the Bart gunfight. Maybe the Brawl for All to keep in tune with the UFC at the time. It should have been a one-night tournament.
Yes. That would have been nice. Would have been.
Could you imagine seeing these guys fight three times in one night?
Uh-huh. Oh.
He's a week apart, too. Ooh. Dr. Death looks like he's just been in a fight. Here it is. Here it is. This was the most memorable fight of the entire tournament. Dr. Death, Steve Williams, and Bodacious Bart. So Bart Gunn had 2 weeks to get ready for this. Dr. Death only 1 week in between fights. So, it looks like the permanent hook was given to Danny Hodge. So, no kicking, no elbowing. I'm excited, Way. Are you back into this tournament yet?
No, actually.
No, you're not.
Sorry. All right. Let me get back into it. Oh, he goes for a takedown right away.
Ooh, and Steve Williams gets the takedown.
That's good strategy.
Yeah, just rack up your point. I mean, he was just coasting past Pierre just on takedown.
Barkin's just a tall guy. Doesn't look like he has that much defense.
And you're neutralizing his boxing here.
Yep.
His close distance.
But I don't think anybody would have predicted the power. I mean, you know, or at least within this group of Bart Gunn. And he seems to have a lot of confidence, too. Keeping his poise and not... A lot of these guys, it just looks like they're spazzing out when they're punching. And Bart Gunn, at least compared to these guys, seems a lot more composed.
Dr. Death gets in the pocket, man. He's a... Ooh. See, at distance, Bart Gunn is great at range.
Yeah.
Complete difference here when they close the distance. Okay, round. I think Bart landed more punches, but Dr. Death got the takedown.
Yeah.
So it should be 5-5.
These rules are stupid.
Maybe this is what the UFC should adopt, a point system. Then you won't have disputed rounds.
Yeah, 5 points per takedown. People would love that. You get nothing but takedowns.
Ooh, Jesus, he just did a full rotation missing on that left. It's kind of weird that the rest periods are as long as the actual round.
Yeah. Bodacious Bart.
Oof. Now, we all know how this fight ends, but, you know, Dr. Death was doing fine in this fight up until this injury happens.
Oh, you spoil it, man. I didn't know.
Oh, come on. Everyone knows what happens here.
I just thought we'd get a typical, pretty boring fight.
I want to hear Jim Ross's call of the finish. Wow. It's just Dr. Death clinching in the corner and landing the occasional strike. Oh, look at that. Bart Gunn
nice.
Gets the takedown. Wow.
Almost takes him out of the ring.
And that's going to end the round. That'll tie this up. It looks like it's tied going into the third round. Each have a takedown in this fight, and each has won a round on the volume of punches. This might be the most competitive fight we've seen so far. I don't think this is going to be a promising minute.
Yeah, definitely now in the second round, you get people who are at least somewhat skilled that stand out. Oh, they broke that little thing on the ring.
15-5?
How? I mean, Bart had that one takedown, I guess. I guess they scored both rounds for Dr. Death.
I guess he had more punches in the first, then.
And the second.
And the second, yeah. I think they could have worked this tournament and probably been fine. Not that these guys are Volkan out there, but...
Maybe they could have.
I wonder
how convincing they could have made it look.
Yeah,
though.
It might not have looked the best.
They're not trained in this style.
Oh, there goes Dr. Death's leg, I think. No? Ooh, and another takedown by Bart Gunn.
So that was one?
I think Dr. Death has already hurt himself. Yeah, it was that fall right prior to the takedown. I think that's where he tore, as he once referred to it as.
One more takedown.
Oh, he's just on one leg here, and he's eating shots from Bart Gunn. Just took two big lefts there. Oh, and a left uppercut, and Dr. Death is out. Our first knockout finish.
Man, I wonder what Jim Ross was thinking at this point. Because wasn't he part of the whole, you know, initiative? Push this guy?
Yeah, well, he was, I mean, everyone looked at him as the favorite in this tournament. I mean, this was very much, that's kind of the lore.
I don't see why, though. Because what boxing background did this guy have?
They just thought with his wrestling ability, and he was considered a tough guy. It's not
But I think, you know...
I don't think anyone went into this... You know, Bart Gunn's really a great boxer. I don't think anyone went into that with that kind of belief. It was like, here are a bunch of regular dudes, and it's the legitimate fighters like Severn and Williams that have a specialty here. Man, that was a hell of a knockout. Dr. Death described it once in an interview I did with him that he tore his ass muscle. That's what led to this. His ass muscle was torn.
Is this the biggest moment of Bart Gunn's career?
Either this or when he got knocked out against Butterbean. One of the two. Wasn't the Midnight Express run. Yeah, this would be the peak of Bart Gunn's career.
Uh-huh.
This. A left uppercut. There is their strength and conditioning guy, Francois Petit.
Is he still there?
No. But this guy used to be... All these guys would talk about... Now, this guy had all these unorthodox ways of rehabbing wrestlers, like using acupuncture and all this weird stuff.
It's not that weird. I've had it done.
You've had acupuncture done?
Yeah. It does feel kind of weird. It feels like you...
Oh, Owen Hart's going to be a late addition. Oh... No.
How do you wrestle in a wrestling match with the guy who just knocked you out in a future? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you gotta have a respect for each other.
I guess so, but they'll always have this over you.
Look, he's got the hose this week.
Oh, great. Nice.
Jeez, that girl on the left looks like she's high as fuck. And that girl's panties are probably high as fuck. How long of a break has Steve Blackman got?
Dan Severn has withdrawn. Did you hear that?
Oh.
Smart move.
Let's find out. When I have a score to settle, I'll do it when my hands are not bound. So he clearly wasn't a fan of the rules. And he probably saw that Bart Gunn match. Was like, fuck this.
Yeah.
Probably makes it a more interesting tournament with Dan Severn out of it than in it.
Yeah. I don't know if he would have won, to be honest with you. Hey, Scorpio's got a Funk You shirt.
Yeah. and some Danny Davis tights.
Fuck you. You can fuck one of my prostitutes.
This is hilarious because Flash Funk was really the precursor to the Godfather gimmick.
In what way?
He came out. He was like a pimp.
No.
With the two women. Flash Funk
was... They weren't hoes. He was just a dancer.
He was, but it was... I mean, they... I always saw it as the precursor to what the Godfather would become.
I think that's very offensive to the Flash Funk dancers.
Did he take the hose?
No.
Oh.
Like Dan Severn did.
Dan Severn would take
Why
him
are they
to
showing
go.
This?
It's the highlight of his last fight.
Oh, it's a Scorpio. No, no, no.
This might have been the debut of the hose.
Oh, wow.
Memorable moment of Brawl for All history that
look
no one is
size,
aware of.
Look at the size difference.
It's a catchweight bout. I wonder if they had to weigh in the day before. Probably not.
Yeah. Wonder if they have to go through VADA testing.
I'm guessing not. They looked up Rockus and they just threw their bulletins up in the air. Okay, August the 3rd of 98. We've got a lot of these fights still to go away. Who do you think's going to win this? I honestly can't remember who wins it.
Let's start
betting on these.
I got Godfather.
Okay, I'll go with Scorpio. Scorpio's got more speed, but Charles Wright is a much better boxer.
And he's a
fuck.
Guy.
He's gonna beat Scorpio.
Yeah.
God, Steve Blackman, where the hell's he been? How did he get this luxurious break? It's been a month since the guys fought. Did he withdraw too? We haven't seen Steve Blackman, and we haven't seen Savio Vega.
You might see those two together.
No, oh, probably. Oh, Charles Wright. Killing Scorpio. Ooh, man. Too cold.
Ha, you keep playing that.
Jim Ross reminding us each week that these guys are terrible at what they're trying to attempt.
Well, that's where he is.
No.
He's a judge.
He's a judge. We can't be putting him in the ring. Need Jack Doan. Oh, he just wobbled Scorpio. Look at the close-up of this chick's ass.
Oh my goodness. Oh. Hey, this should really bring this back. Love to see
TNA should do this.
Yeah.
You know who should do this? Juggalo Championship Wrestling. The Weed Man versus the Rude Boy.
Too Tough Tony.
Too Tough Tony.
He'd be the favorite, I think.
Congo Kong.
I'd love to see Officer Colt a part of this.
Brings out his Bacardi. Lights his fist on fire.
Yeah, look at this.
Oh, God. These uppercuts in the corner by Godfather. He's destroying Scorpio.
I wonder what type of legit training they do, like, in the weeks leading up to these fights. What do you think?
Nothing. I think they showed up. I wonder if they even knew who they were facing a week in advance. So, did they show up at the building and look at the brackets of who they were fighting that night?
So do they get a break from wrestling during this whole time?
Well, they probably didn't have to work a dark match on the same night.
But, I mean, house shows?
No, I don't think so. They were all on the road at the time. They weren't taking guys off live events.
Man. 10-0 for the Godfather after two rounds.
Imagine we hadn't been recording. You'd lose it.
I'd be rethinking this.
Way would be Bart Gunn to my Dr. Death.
He's got a good sprawl, man.
No, Charles Wright.
What? Oh, for... Yeah.
Nice. The hoes love it.
Charles Wright has been the biggest surprise of this tournament, and no one ever points him out in the Brawl for All.
Uh-huh. Comma.
Scorpio's not terrible, but no, he's in right. there with someone that's pretty good.
Yeah, and he's way undersized.
Yeah, this is like watching a fucking big light heavyweight against a guy who could probably be a welterweight.
Yeah.
Even though Charles Wright is probably 250 pounds at this point.
Look at Scorpio, he's feeling it.
When did he drop the name Flash Funk?
Around the Job Squad phase.
Oh.
Because he went to ECW, then he came back and he was just Scorpio. Couldn't be too cold Scorpio. Too confusing with Stone Cold.
That was the whole music deal with the Jive?
Yeah.
On the Heyman DVD?
Yes. Led to their $1,000 a week. Tommy Boy Records. Not surprising.
So who's advanced so far? We got the Godfather.
Godfather and Bart Gunn have each won two.
Okay.
And those are our only, I guess, quarterfinals.
So we got Blackman and Savio Vega still to go.
And then Bradshaw.
Right.
And Severn's out, so one of them probably gets a bye.
No, Severn. Godfather. Godfather took his spot.
They explained that. That's right.
We'll find out. What are your thoughts so far?
It's been fun. I wish it was over now. But we'll keep going. We got draws. That's right. He won his epic match with Road Warrior Hawk.
I'd say one of the less impressive two.
This was one of the worst.
Yeah. Clearly no.
I still think Brock has had the worst outing. Mark Canterbury second.
Yeah.
Hawk.
Hawk didn't look good.
Hawk looked okay for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Too bad Hawk didn't get Dan Severn's vacant spot.
I'm reading the Wikipedia, and it's saying that this tournament basically came about because they had a lot of quote-unquote tough guys on the roster and nothing to do with them.
Well, of course, do this. Oh, Savio is probably going to look pretty good in this. Savio Vega, Road Warrior Hawk, and there, everyone, is Brockus.
Yeah, he looked good, too, for a wrestler, you know what I mean?
No, representing Puerto Rico. Puke. I'm surprised they didn't allow kicks. Maybe that was a concession to the wrestlers.
Yeah.
They didn't want kicks in this.
You might have needed commission for kicks. How about chops? Open-handed chops.
Oh, they got gloves on.
I would have loved to have seen submissions, though. And you'd see guys like actually try to figure
fours. Oh, some heel hooks.
Yeah. Who do you have?
I'm going with Savio in this one.
Me too.
Surprised they haven't put this thing out on DVD.
Seriously?
Yeah. Dude, they've put out DVDs like best of Falls Count Anywhere matches. You know what I mean? Like they put out anything. This they could totally put in. Throw in some interviews with all these guys in hindsight, do some director's commentary. And people that still are interested in this by this point.
What happened there? Did somebody score?
I think it was a slip.
Oh, come on. Who do you give that to for punches?
Probably Savio.
Yeah, I think I
he landed him more.
You know, Draws clearly has a better reach.
But Savio's been more aggressive.
Has there been one crowd that's been into one of these fights? They all seem to be sitting on their hands.
Yeah, the knockout got a reaction of, what is it, Dr. Death? Beyond that, these are just, like, boring matches. You know? You got a wrestling audience that's conditioned to seeing people jumping the ropes and running the ropes and, you know, doing all this shit. And then you got this instead, just, like, weak punching and clinching. It's just a different thing altogether. I don't find it that entertaining at all. Not to mention how much, like, was obviously there's no concern at all about exposing pro wrestling. You see these guys throw these punches here, and then the next match, you have guys throwing...
Draws is landing some big rights here.
You have, like, a pro wrestling match where guys are just throwing punches to no effect. How does that look?
Completely out of context when you watch this as a show. And Draws has got a takedown there. Draws is winning the second round. No, thank God. You won't see this on Nitro, folks. You probably see a hot cruiserweight match right now.
Out of their world.
Oh, out of their world. Not out of their comfort zone, out of their element, world.
Element, world.
Well, that was a definite round for Draws, so yeah. We might be even. But he also had a takedown there, so that might be extra points.
Oh, come on. What's been better, this or Agency Wars, in terms of quality?
Well, we've had some ringers at Agency Wars, haven't we? Guys that are actually have some background.
Yeah, we have.
That's so shitty.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Agency Wars is this, like, charity boxing event that the Fight Network produces every year.
Okay, third round between Darren Drozdov and Savio Vega. Why don't they tell us? Wouldn't that make it more dramatic to know that these...
Because they probably don't know themselves.
No. I wonder how much guesswork was done to who won these rounds. Like, do you think they were actually counting the punches? Do you think they actually have, like,
Danny
a system
Hodge,
in place?
Danny Hodge definitely cares enough to look for things like that.
He's the head of the commission in Oklahoma to this day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he cares enough about this to pay attention. I think Jim Ross has been doing a pretty good job.
No, they both have been. Even Lawler, I think, has been fine.
And therefore, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing him call or hearing him call MMA. You can always, like, you know, you can tell when people are inspired to do a good job, and this probably presented a unique challenge for him to call. You know.
Ooh.
Oh.
Oh man, Draws just landed a flurry. Oof, that right.
Just big,
that was a close round.
Big wild swing.
Wow, that was a quick tabulation of points. Darren Drozdov beats Savio Vega.
Yeah, well, that was a surprise.
Yeah, that was an okay fight.
Yeah, that was fine.
By brawl for all standards. Next has to be Steve Blackman. He's got to finally be in this.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be Blackman and...
Bradshaw?
Yeah. Blackshaw.
Nice.
Well, if you guys are still watching along with us...
Do you think people like this?
This show?
Yeah.
Like our show or
our show.
Brawl for All? I don't know, but that's what they're going to get.
This is it. We're not redoing this. Here he is. Bradshaw.
What's he wearing? He's got like one pant leg.
His knee is all taped up.
Oh, okay.
Is it just me, or does he look older than he does now?
Definitely. With the facial hair, with that black hair.
What? Mark Merrow? He lost.
Yeah, what happened to Blackman?
Oh, yeah, a real slug. Two months ago!
Did Blackman lose?
No, he won. Took him down. No, we now have brackets. So Bart and Godfather will meet, and then draws will take on the winner of Bradshaw and Marrow.
What happened?
So we started with a round of 16. Holy Christ.
Yeah, Steve Blackman won. What the fuck?
No explanation. This is, stylistically, for what they want, a better matchup. Because these two are just going to stand and trade. There's not going to be any takedowns. It seems they wanted to make this more fan-friendly. And they yanked Severn.
Oh, Blackman got legitimately injured.
Of course. One of many. Read off some of the injuries.
Savio Vega aggravated an old arm injury and it would never work for the WWF again.
No. Though he has wrestled. He works in Puerto Rico to this day.
Jim Cornette has described the tournament as the stupidest thing the WWF has ever done. He argues that the WWF misjudged the appeal that legitimate fighting would have to their audience, considering that the WWF had aggressively promoted the idea that their matches were sports entertainment with scripted finishes.
They put a bunch of guys in a fight. What the fuck? Look, Mero's going for a guillotine. And Bradshaw took him down.
Yeah, I would have much rather have seen, like, amateur MMA where, like, guys... Like, you can always tell, like... Sometimes you see in street fights, guys know what a guillotine looks like, but they don't really know how to actually apply it.
Yes.
I'd like to see stuff like that.
Did you ever see any Bodog fights?
Yeah.
Where they had this legendary boxing announcer, Colonel Bob Sheridan,
yeah,
come in for play-by-play, and he was clearly given, like, a primer.
Paul Lazenby.
Yeah, Paul Lazenby did it, and... Like, he wouldn't know what things were, you turn up the volume. So you'd have him, he's like, and it takes him down. Guard! Guard! He's kind of in a guard!
That's great.
So I think Bradshaw won this round based on a takedown. Yeah, but Marrow might have outlanded him. This is back to... He's traded in the red and black here for the black and white. Mark Merrill. 5-5.
The heartbroken Mark Merrill.
God, look how much taller Bradshaw is.
I guess this is like almost more closer to the MMA than boxing. Except for the break.
How many times has JR said unique environment? Could have done a drinking game.
We could have.
I would have made this crazy.
Oh,
almost the reverse. Look at this. Bradshaw clearly learning from his first outing. I'm just going to take guys down, especially the fucking boxer.
Yeah.
Who has zero takedown defense, as we saw against Steve Blackman. Look at him grabbing the rope there.
How many guys do you think, like, know cash wrestling in the WWE?
Today?
Yeah. Any of them. Like, at least some level of submission fighting.
I know a lot of them. Like, I mean, Christ, Daniel Bryan was heavily into training.
Yeah.
For a long period of time.
I mean, I feel like these days you could probably actually get away with like a half decent, you know, grappling or at least.
I mean, you have guys on the roster who have wrestling backgrounds, yeah, like a Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
He was on the same wrestling team as Gray Maynard.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you had Santino there for a long time too.
Yeah, judo.
Legit judo guy.
Ooh, are you excited for this third round? Wait, it's tied. Yeah. Bradshaw, Mark Merrow, round number three.
Who will advance?
Hey, let's give credit here. Bradshaw's cardio looks to have improved greatly that first fight where he was looking to have a heart attack after a round.
Yeah. Ooh.
Oh, man.
Belly to belly suplex.
Look at Bradshaw. Maybe the most improved from one fight to the next.
What? Why not?
That was a clean takedown.
Total takedown.
Come on, man. Give us some punching. None of this takedown bullshit.
What's wrong with...
This is... There's such a fucking wrestling bias. Anti-bias.
Look at the size difference here. Jeez.
See, Mero's throwing a lot. He's landing nothing, though.
He's landing a lot of body punches, though.
Bradshaw just leans on him and falls on top.
I mean, Mero's landing a lot of body punches, so I don't know how you count that.
Oh, why wouldn't it?
Yeah, I give it to Bradshaw personally, but who knows?
He should win this. Come on, Danny. Add that score up.
All right. Who's going to get screwed?
Our one judge. What? Oh. I don't want another round. Odds that they knew there was an overtime round if it was tied. Probably not. Oh, yeah. Now Bradshaw. Fuck, he trained for 3 minutes. Not 4 minutes.
Oh, God.
I think it looks bad for you guys, for your common viewer at home, that these guys are so tired after 3 minutes.
The whole thing looks terrible.
Like,
for you guys.
It really does put these guys in a bad light.
Your Dr. Death knocked out.
High stakes.
Oh.
Another takedown. Or are we not sure if that was a takedown?
That one counts. Come on. You saw him flash the sign.
I think half of Bradshaw's takedowns haven't been awarded. This has, like, been a clear-cut fight.
Single.
I would say good balance, but Bradshaw just sat down on the second rope.
Hard to take down, like, in a ring as opposed to a cage, too.
Yeah, especially when... Mero's not drilling his head into the chest. He's not angling his hips to take the guy down. He's grabbing the leg and just trying to hop him up.
You're asking a boxer to take the guy down for the first time in his life.
Bradshaw wins.
Now they bury their heads in the corners.
Winner via big takedown, Bradshaw. Ooh.
All right.
Mark Merrill was probably taken down about 15 times in his fights.
What are we on to? The semis now?
Yeah,
semifinals?
We've got two semifinal bouts and the finals. So we have three fights to go. You going to make it? You going to last?
I'm going to make
it. You okay?
I'm going to make it. I'm going to do this.
Okay.
New set of hoes accompanying the Godfather.
They got Bill Clinton on the phone. Wow, amazing. Bill Clinton's going to weigh in on the Brawl for All. God, this is lame. This was during the Monica Lewinsky scandal. Oh, look at that.
Look at this, on the phone.
On the phone! Is this allowed?
I don't know. Parody law, I guess.
I guess they're not saying Bill Clinton. This should be good, actually.
This should be good. I'm actually looking forward to
two semi-competent boxers.
I don't even know about that.
Per WWF standards.
Yeah. Hey, why wasn't Vader in this? Vader would have been fun. Oh, they worked an angle.
Oh, he weakened him the night before on Sunday Night Heat.
Via body slam.
Oh, and then Vader splashed him.
Uh-oh.
Okay. I got to run in the washroom, boy. Take notes at the host.
All right. As John goes to the bathroom, let us enjoy this promo. The Godfather is offering Bart Gunn his choice of hose, to which Bart Gunn just basically looks completely unenthused. Oh. Psych. He looks kind of disappointed, but not really. I'm amazed at how stoic Bart Gunn has looked this entire time. In contrast, Godfather, not very stoic. He almost looks like Fedor. Tale of the Tape. All right. I mean, Godfather looking pretty composed. Good sprawl again. Bart Gunn's trying very hard to go for the takedown. Ah, he grabbed the ropes.
That's allowed.
Should be a point deduction. No, it's not.
To grab the ropes.
You can't grab the cage.
No, well, this isn't a cage. This is the ropes.
So you can grab the ropes.
You get a break. Yeah, it's a rope break. This is like Pancrase. Oh, look at that. We need Tale of the Tape here. Yeah, 3-inch reach for Godfather.
One. We actually had one.
Oh.
While you're away.
I missed it.
He also missed the Godfather offering and then taking away his whole hose.
He took away the offer?
Yeah.
Oh. Was Bart going to bite?
Bart just has the same expression on his face this entire time.
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Who won that round, Way?
Didn't we have a takedown?
I missed a takedown
we had a stuffed takedown. Oh. So, I mean, I guess Bart.
Bart landed more, it looks more like. Punches.
But I don't even know how many they're looking. Yeah. You know, I am impressed with the. Like, clearly, like, this guy, Godfather, has had some real training. Same with. I mean, Bart Gunn to an extent, but it looks like Godfather is pretty actually. Decently trained. He's got like good posture, you know, good stance, and looks like he has good power in his punches. Spit out his mouthpiece. Bart's throwing more, though. Bart's more aggressive.
Ooh, Bart is lighting him up with his left hands here. Oh, Godfather looks out on his feet right now. He's just taking like five, six strikes right to the jaw. Oh, my God.
What happened, Godfather?
Oh, and the right hand puts him down.
Damn.
Oh, God, that should be it.
Hey.
Oh, that ended the second? That was a knockdown.
He
got up,
yeah.
He got 10 points, though, for the knockdown.
That was 10 points.
10 for the knockdown. Okay. Ooh. Jesus. Oh, it was a left hand that dropped him.
Like, Bart Gunn's technique looks pretty awful, but he's got power.
Oh, man. Charles Wright took just a shitload of strikes in the last 30 seconds. Wow. I'm impressed by Charles Wright. This is a guy who... I mean, just thrown into this, whatever background he has.
No,
I mean,
they listed their backgrounds.
What was
his background? Was martial arts and boxing.
I knew he had some.
And Bart's was tough man competition, and I think a bit of boxing.
Bob Hawley had done some tough mans as well before this.
Well, how's that relevant?
This is what a tough man contest is.
No, it's not.
Pretty much.
You don't punch in a tough man contest.
Of course you do.
You lift shit.
No. You're thinking of like strongest man competitions.
Oh,
tough mans are like shitty boxing fights.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, you just we missed the knockout there. Bart Gunn put him out.
That was flatter than.
That's two knockouts for Bart Gunn in this tournament now.
Well, he's the only one with knockouts. Oh man,
Charles Wright doesn't know if he's on Raw or Nitro right now. Ooh, that was the right that put him out. He's got power in both hands. That's incredible. That was a pretty nice shot. Wow. Ooh, right on the chin.
Why do they never show this highlight in the best of attitude?
Yeah, you don't ever remember this.
That was the highlight of his career.
This might be... That was a cleaner one than even the Doc one.
What did he say?
I couldn't even hear him. He was like cutting some promo on Jim Ross at ringside.
Like it was like he was talking to him as the talent talent relations guy, not the commentator.
So Bart is now in the finals. He'll face the winner of Draws and Bradshaw, which are up next. Bart. Bodacious.
Bart Gunn.
How's Draws made it this far? At least he's won all his matches, unlike Bradshaw.
Have we heard the same theme music for all these
guys?
Every
single one.
Seriously?
No one's come out to their themes.
Why?
It's the Brawl for All theme. It's like the when the UFC, everyone will come out to the same song.
No.
In the early days.
Alright.
Dun, dun, dun. Well, here's Bradshaw, who has a 500 record in this tournament so far. On the cusp of making it to the finals.
500, what do you mean?
He lost his first fight, didn't he?
No.
Did he win both?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. He faced Mark Canterbury, didn't he?
It was Mark Merrill that lost, and then Godfather that had lost.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So sad. This is what these wrestlers have to do to get noticed. Meanwhile, Bradshaw would go on a way bigger success just shaving his facial hair and dyeing his hair blonde.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, look at that mustache.
Outweighs him by 24 pounds, and Bradshaw has a 3-inch reach advantage. Background, football barroom brawling for Bradshaw. Also wearing some white socks.
Football.
Ooh, football. He'll tackle him.
My background is golf.
That's probably his takedown technique is tackling a guy.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, Bradshaw. So you think you can fight? Oh, look at this. The sweet science.
Oh.
At its sourest.
They look like they're breakdancing. Oh. They look like
he rock draws.
They look like they're breakdancing.
Another future competition for WWE talent. Freestyle competition. Not wrestling. Bradshaw's striking is just the pits. But he won the round. Draws is now braiding his hair. Oof. Oof.
Is he wearing, like, boxer shorts?
Draws?
Yeah.
He's wearing, like,
He's boxing. Like, his pants. I guess they're a bit long, but...
I don't see any boxers on this screen. Ooh. Draws with two big rights. Oh, right to the back of the head, man.
Well, that's allowed here.
I guess.
There's very little research.
Let's try and cripple one another. Fuck, let's like elbow down on their spine while
we're at
it.
Very little research on concussions.
Yeah, I don't think they were too concerned at this time. Draws might win this round. 15 seconds to go in round number 2. Bradshaw won the first round. Draws looks to be ahead here.
Are you allowed to clothesline?
No one's tried it, so no one's been told not to. Oh, JBL avoids the takedown, but Draws gets the next attempt. So Draws will win that round. That might be 10 points for Draws. Final round, Wei. Who is your pick?
I pick that I will manage to stay awake, barely.
We're almost down to the end, Wei. We're approaching the end of the show.
It's a lot more difficult than I expected. I thought this would actually be sort of a fun watch. This is, like, kind of really tiring.
The novelty wore off really quickly.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to make up for your energy that you've...
I apologize, everybody. I wish I had more to offer. I just don't know what
what more there is to
How say. Shitty would this be if we were like watching a movie that we started and we had to talk for 2 hours over our movie?
People have done that.
Everyone does that. I'm just saying it's harder than it appears. Yeah. I prefer our straight up reviews.
Yeah, I do too.
As everyone just turns this off.
No, people are here.
It's the final round. They want to find out how this ends. Oh!
Here we go. Looking for that takedown.
Bradshaw clearly spending some time maybe at AKA during his off weeks. No, they will never be cowards. 10 seconds left in this fight. I think Draws is ahead here. But I don't think he's going to win this. Oh.
All right.
That might be a draw. We might get a fourth round.
So tell me about these tough man competitions. What are those? It's like underground fighting?
Yeah, unsanctioned fights where it's typically amateur fighters that are put into a very similar to this, like what you're watching here. Very low skill level.
Takedowns?
I don't think takedowns are part of it for these tough man contests. They don't incorporate wrestling. They cut to the chase.
Who would you have liked to have seen in this that didn't enter?
Bradshaw wins, so Bradshaw and Barkgun are our finals. It was a very close fight. I thought Drozdov might steal it, even though I knew who made it to the finals.
I feel like they could have put, like, a, you know, had done this, but with main eventers.
Austin versus Rock.
Yeah.
Brawl for All.
Shawn Michaels. Bret Hart.
Triple H.
Yeah.
Vince.
Undertaker.
All right. Are you excited for the finals, Way? This is what this whole show has been built
I
around.
I am. Are we getting the, what is it, the... Oh, we're not getting the butterbean.
I don't know. We have 12 minutes to go here. $50,000 for the winner. That's what's up for grabs.
That's it?
50 grand for, that's, you know, four fights.
It's not
worth, a Bellator contract.
It's not worth the potential concussion.
This is the tournament format. Winner gets to be taken off TV for the next 6 months.
Look at Barkgun's face.
Oh, yeah, he's ready to pound here.
Ready to pound ass.
August 24th, 1998, our final. With Shawn Michaels back on commentary. Thank God. How do you think this is going to end, Way? Ooh.
Knockout.
Oh, God, not good for Bradshaw, it appears. I don't know if this one will make it to the judges. Or the judge. Bradshaw's throwing. He's just not landing. Oh! That's it.
Holy
that's
shit.
It. Left hand just rocked JBL into another zip code. Holy shit. Is he going to continue? He looks glass-eyed right now. Oh, he barely answered that question. Oh! This is bad.
Oh!
Left, right, and down goes Bradshaw. It's over. Barkgun is the winner.
Hey, that it really is something, man. Like, nobody expected him to even make it through the first round, much less have that power that he does. Three knockouts. And
for all the shit they had to basically give up for this tournament, guys, getting injured, a stupid idea, you would have thought at least at the end of it you could have done something with the winner. And I think it's laziness that they said that, oh, Barkgun just wasn't that... interesting a guy.
I just don't think they know how to push this type of guy. You know? This type of stoic, Fedor-like guy who just seems to be able to dominate, you know? They pretty much did the worst thing they could have done. Feed him to an actual
professional. Yeah, let's bring in an outsider to just murder this guy.
Yeah.
Great, great handling of this.
Oh, look at
very stupid idea. Very stupid execution. And its legacy is such. Oh, God, Bradshaw.
I think we will get the Butterbean match.
Yeah, maybe. We do have one last one, I guess. We would really put a cap on this Brawl for All tournament. Where we'll get special referee Vinny Pazienza. 50 grand.
So he's already won.
He won the tournament.
Not much of a celebration.
No, that's it. No check.
Yeah.
No handshake from Vince McMahon.
How about a belt?
No jackets for all the members
no
of the tournament.
Oh, man, look at JBL's
Dude, he was
legs.
Like convalescing on that. He was really rocked. Oh, they got smelling salts for him. He is fucked. Wow, Bradshaw just looks a mess. Maybe we're just going to get 10 minutes worth of replays here and we won't get Butterbean.
It's okay. Thoughts on the whole tournament?
I kind of summed it up. It was pretty silly in hindsight and probably for those at the time as well. There were some fun fights in there watching some of these guys out of their element.
Out of their world.
Out of their world.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go. Short hair Bart Gunn. Maybe that was the problem. He cut his hair. Took away all his powers, like Samson. They gave Bart Gunn time off to prepare for this.
Yeah, they thought that would be enough.
Yeah. What do you think of when you see Butterbean? I think of Jackass.
Yeah, definitely. I think of some of his MMA fights.
Oh, there's Rocky Fratto. Larry Scott. Ray Rinaldi. This does feel like some shitty MMA card.
Yeah.
WrestleMania. What a jump here.
Why would he cut his hair? I mean, I guess it worked better for boxing, but... There we go.
The Mean Street Posse. Ringside at WrestleMania 15.
Is that how he's accused?
There he is. Look how yoked he looks. Vinny Pazienza. With the Adidas tearaways.
Did we do the show?
WrestleMania 15? I think so.
Oh.
This will be our first double review of a match.
Yeah. Gorilla.
Yeah, this was his last... ever on-screen appearance for the WWF. Kevin Rooney, Mike Tyson's old trainer.
I'm the king!
Listen to the reaction Gorilla gets here. It's heartwarming.
Hmm. That's cool.
Yeah. That was the thing I remembered the most about this. Gorilla Monsoon. Oh, there's your music, Way. One last time. Take it all in.
Bam, bam, bam,
what a
bam,
shitty riff.
Bam, bam.
God, I miss Howard Finkel. What a voice.
Me too.
Butterbean.
How much do you think he got paid?
Butterbean?
To knock a guy out.
Maybe 25 grand.
And Bart Gunn?
$5,000. Butterbean. Look at this guy. Peak condition.
Man.
Super heavyweight
this
champion.
Is, like, wrestling is just weird. How did we end up here?
This was only 1999. This was like, I remember this so clearly.
How did we end up? Jeez.
Look at this robe. This is what he spent that $50,000 on, a robe. And two trainers. from Fluster, Kentucky. Fluster.
Okay.
He's about to get flustered in the ring. Oh, wow.
You think this guy shared...
Bart the Hammer Gun. Stole Mark Coleman's nickname.
You think this guy's... You think he's scared at all at this point?
Bart?
What's going through his head?
Well, he's probably thinking this is not Bradshaw. But hey, man, he knocked out Steve Williams at a time when people thought, you know, he was...
Steve Williams is not Butterbean, man.
No, he is not, but...
This guy has no chin to knock out.
That guy knows he has power. Just has to connect. He probably thinks I'm way faster than him. Well, this is not going to last long. Which Wei is very happy about as we wind down here. Fight hard and kick some ass. Not one of them's going to listen to the rules. The hammer! Bart Gunn. From bodacious to the hammer in just a year.
Oh, God. This is bad. This is bad.
Look at Butterbean just mixing it up, attacking the body. Oh, right hand.
Oh, this is...
Down goes Bart. This would not be the end, though. This was the exact Wei this happened with Bradshaw, where he probably should have been stopped, and they let him continue, and he just went to sleep.
Oh, this is awful. What? Why? Oh, man.
Already in the first 30 seconds, knocked out. Oh. Boom!
Oh, that's terrible.
Butterbean murders him, and there you go. Fucking 2 months of the Brawl for All done in 35 seconds. Bravo! Bravo. One of the stupidest fucking tournaments ever.
Ugh.
Done. Outsider knocks out your only guy you made out of this Brawl for All. Stupid idea.
I mean, that fight... How did they even sanction that?
The Pennsylvania State Athletic Commission. This is the same commission who years later would tell Nate Marquardt that his elevated testosterone levels will just make sure they're down in time for the week of the fight.
Yeah, ridiculous.
And this
look at Gorilla, at least.
It was a happening.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Butterbean's fist happening all over Bart Gunn's chin. Look at this. Oh, God.
Oh, that's terrible.
Bart Gunn.
Oh, boy.
Imagine if Mark Canterbury had been in there with Butterbean.
He
might not have lived. Oh, Jesus, let's replay this thing.
God damn. Well,
maybe Bart wanted a rematch. 2 out of 3. God, they're just like not letting this one go to rest.
So what ended up happening with the Bart Gunn?
Nothing. He got cut shortly thereafter. That was it.
Thanks for winning our tournament.
What an interesting story. And then he would go off and he competed in New Japan for a while.
Did he ever enter any legitimate form of fighting?
He did. He did some Rumble on the Rock, I think.
MMA?
MMA cards, yeah.
How did he do, you know?
Had, like, mixed success, I believe.
Well, everybody.
Look up Mike Barton.
Okay. Well, I hope you all enjoyed that.
That is the Brawl for All, everyone. We're all out of time. No, we're not. We still got some feedback to get to.
Mike Barton, also known as Mike Polchlopek.
Yeah.
Polchlopek. Mike Polchlopek, currently 50. His mixed martial arts career. He's got a record of 1-0-1. Beat Cabbage Carrera via TKO, a cut.
Yeah, he had some success.
And then lost to... he lost. 1-1. 1-1. Lost to Manoa Man in Pride Bushido. Interesting.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening. If you skip through, that's cool, too. We're going to go to the feedback now. because we've got a lot of it. How are we going to do this?
Listen, thank you so much, everybody, first of all, for leaving all the feedback. I guarantee you we will be reading every single one of your words individually, but not on the show. We won't read everything on the show. So we'll just skim through, you know. If there's something that looks interesting, we'll just randomly pick, you know, here and there.
All right, let's go quick here. Let's go. We'll start with Christian Small. Hey, guys, congratulations on 5 years. You've been my favorite podcast ever since the Rumble 92 review. I'd personally love to hear Arda Ocal come back, as the three he did with John back when Way was away were still some of my favorites to go back to. Been looking forward to you guys reviewing Brawl for All. Thanks for all your awesome work. Thank you, Christian.
All right. We go to Adam from the UK. Actually, I'm starting backwards. Adam from the UK, who says, John and Wafers, thank you for all your podcasts. They helped me get through my 10-hour night shifts. My question to you is, if you could have been a fly on the wall at any event or time period in wrestling history, when would that be? And your special bonus question is, have either of you seen a ghost? Well, I haven't.
What?
But if I could be a fly on the wall of any event, I guess, in years past, I would have said I would have loved to have been in the locker room when Brett punched Vince, but I think we pretty much have exhausted that story.
Yeah, I'm kind of anything to do with Montreal, I kind of check out. I'm kind of so tired of Montreal. I wish we could just not talk about it ever again.
So I mean, I guess like the way wrestling is, how many secrets really are there anymore? You know, what is a story that you could think of that you know you would have loved to have been there, but
maybe TNA over the last year.
I would have loved to have been in the writing
room. How Aces and Eights came about.
Yeah, I would have loved to have been in the writing room when the Claire Lynch when Claire Lynch quit. It would have been
find out what the original idea was.
That's it.
Let's go to Brad from Whitby. So glad you guys finally got around to the Brawl for All review. There are just too many positive things to list about the podcast. Okay, well, thank you very much. I can't think of a smart question, so I'll ask a stupid one. What would your finishing move be as a wrestler, as an MMA fighter? Huh?
Okay.
Waves would be a triangle.
Yeah.
Mine would be the tap.
Mine would be the Pollock driver.
The Pollock driver.
Yeah. Not the Meltzer driver, but the Pollock driver. Not quite as flashy. Oh, God. All right, let's go to Bolts of Daylight, who says he has a few questions. We'll go to one or two. Okay. Hey, he says that at the end of our live edition of Review Away in April, we had the audience chant Pollock, Pollock, Pollock as a replacement for Waiting, Waiting, Waiting. But I don't believe you guys have actually used it so far. Will you ever edit it into the opening?
I semi-recall doing that.
Yeah. Will you?
I kind of like the waiting chant.
It's really a question for John. I think he's way too humble to edit him a chant of himself into the opening of a show.
I don't think it sounds as clear as the waiting version that we have of.
No, that's not true.
One of our listeners, class of children, chanting waiting.
People to this day don't know what the Iron Sheik is saying.
Well, that's because it's the Iron Sheik.
He's got another question. What do you think? Yeah, a lot of these questions are like, what is the worst gimmick of all time? Like, these are just hard to, like, think of on the spot. Let's go to this one. A career question. What kind of ultimate career goals do you have in mind? Much easier to answer. Would you want to transition to working on a pro wrestling program in a writing or administrative capacity? Or
no.
Start your own website? Whatever, yada, yada, yada. What are your ultimate goals, John? Let's hear that. Ultimate career goals.
Jesus.
I think all these questions are going to be like this.
Well, I don't know what people want me to say. My job.
Where do you want to end up in 30 years? Do you want your legacy to be?
I want to be a cornerman.
No, man, come on. Answer truthfully.
I'm very happy doing what I'm doing right now. I don't want to be a doctor. I don't want to be a dentist. I don't want to be a teacher.
So you want to continue basically being a, you know, mixed martial arts, professional wrestling analyst, commentator.
Yeah, I really enjoy doing it.
And be the best at that.
I would hope that I get better or get worse. All right. At least one of them.
That's cool.
What about you?
My ultimate career goal. I don't even know. I've always just kind of like fallen into things, and this podcast being one of those things upon your suggestion. So, I mean, I'm very happy so far myself too, but as far as like ultimate career goals, I don't even know. I don't even know if I, you know, I sometimes wonder if how far somebody can even go in broadcasting in my position. Not you. Like, I think you definitely have a long ways to go, but like, you know, I'm just thinking about like the industry. Right? Anyway, we don't have to get too deep into that. But it's a shrinking industry, especially in Canada here. So.
Oh yeah, I might be a dentist at some point. I might have to. In terms of working for a wrestling promotion, maybe 10 years ago, it would have been interesting to do a writing spot, but it would be more just for the experience of it rather than it being a goal to do. Today, I have no interest. None. Of working for any wrestling promotion, and I would not have. Yeah. I just have no interest in doing it at all.
Yeah, it's never really been a goal of mine to work in pro wrestling.
No, neither for me.
I kind of like watching just as a fan, you know.
We go to Robin from London. Hi guys, finally took the big step of registering on pro boards. I love the show. It's become a top podcast I listen to each week. I have to frantically mute when my girlfriend walks into the room. Please never watch porn again. Wrestling is hard enough for me to sell as a 31-year-old health professional, let alone weigh vomiting on air. My anniversary question is if you had to pick classic wrestling theme songs to soundtrack key life moments, marriage, childbirth, what would you pick?
Okay, well, definitely... track with an Asian banjo when I was born. When I came to Canada, that was another big life moment.
Would that be maybe from Montreal to Memphis with the Fabulous Rougeau brothers?
Not really, no.
Shanghai to Toronto, Valez-vous Francais?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I came from Hong Kong, but that's
the best fun. We can do.
Yeah, that's close enough. What about you? Okay, these questions are really hard. Like, they're not like...
I feel I could give better answers. My brain's fried right now after just watching this.
Yeah, I mean...
Do you want to break this up and do some more of these on Review and Impact this week? I'd be more rested to do these later this week than right now. We're already at the two-hour mark on the anniversary show.
All
right,
sure.
Let's finish page one and then... We'll do the rest.
You tell me when page one ends, because it's a different thing.
Oh, okay.
This is a really weird review, I have to say.
Oh, it's all over the place. I don't know if it's good or bad.
But that's, you know, I think that's the appeal of the show, to me at least, is we're never like, we sort of have a format, but like, I love being able to experiment. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not. So, you know what?
Fuck it.
I wasn't
going
to say
that. Oh, I thought that's where you were going. Okay, let's go to DC. I am a teacher of middle school students. I always want to keep the relationship strictly professional with me and my student. This sounds really weird. It becomes very difficult when I hear them talk about wrestling. I sometimes want to interject, but I usually control myself. There was one time last school year where I heard them talking about Eddie Guerrero. These are seventh graders, so I'm thinking to myself, what the hell do they know about Eddie Guerrero?
Where is this going?
I don't know. They were discussing the Ray Eddie Dominic storyline. I couldn't take it anymore. I basically gave them a rundown on the complete history of Ray and Eddie dating back to their WCW days. I even told them to watch Halloween Havoc 97 and report back to me. They watched it and enjoyed it. The point of this is to ask if you think I can continue to discuss wrestling with them and keep that authority position over them. I don't know, DC. I really don't know. You do what you feel is professional.
Maybe we'll just like shelve this episode all entirely.
The lost episode.
All right. We go to, what's this guy's name? Trekkie Alex, who says, I'm not sure if this question has been asked before, but if there's any of you guys' previous reviews that you've done that you'd ever consider re-reviewing. For instance, say if you see Grand Zero from 1997 and gave it a second viewing with 2014 eyes and compared to the 2009 eyes of the original recording, have you ever thought about that? I feel like inevitably, if we keep doing the show, we might have to like redo some of these.
I don't think we'll have to. There's a lot of wrestling shows out there. I don't know if any would want.
Yeah, I know, but at what point are people going to stop giving a shit? You know, when we've gone through all the WrestleManias, all the SummerSlams, and we're left to review, you know, let me pick a random tape from your collection here in this room. Like, what is this one? Clash. Yeah, I guess these are okay. Clash of Champions, September 92. I mean, I'm sure these are all good.
But look at the rate, though, of how many wrestling shows are produced.
Taboo Tuesday.
Yeah, you want to review Taboo Tuesday some week?
I guess.
El Torito writes, I'm glad to have discovered you guys 2 years ago and nearly listened to all of your shows twice as an elections nerd of all countries. Is there going to be an episode of Review an Election within the next year? With the mayoral election happening in 2 months and the federal election in a year, I'd love to get your takes on your country's election, especially the federal one, since it's a bit different than our Yankee ways.
You know, I feel like being from Toronto, I think we have a real advantage. And I feel like, you know, I'd say like this mayoral race is probably more interesting for the first time in a long time.
Sure.
I have more interest in a Canadian election than I do an American one. So maybe, I'd be up for it. We'd welcome back our friend Justin
Garrett. Would have to be on it.
Ahmad, I don't think he'd be able to weigh in.
I think that was too damning the last time.
Yeah.
Let us continue here.
Oh, is it my turn?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Brandon from Planet Earth. Are you guys big?
I don't know where you are on here. Are you on the first page?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, you just keep reading.
Are you guys big Star Wars fans?
No.
I am.
Okay.
Are you excited for episode 7?
No.
I am. When was the first time you felt embarrassed that you were a wrestling fan? For me, it was when hot lesbian action was on and my mom asked, what the hell this is?
Embarrassing moments of watching wrestling. I brought this up before, probably when I still lived at home, and my mom comes in to talk to me as Vince McMahon is taking his pants off and putting his ass into Jim Ross's face and then riding around the ring with a cowboy hat on with his bare ass hanging out. That was probably up there. Way doesn't get embarrassed,
yeah,
I don't think.
Like, I'm actually trying to think. To be honest, I don't really get all that. Especially around my parents. I mean, I think they're just kind of used to the ridiculousness, but to me, like, I've always enjoyed in some sick way all the embarrassing moments of wrestling. Like, I mean, I watch it to laugh at it, so it's not really embarrassing. It's just more like it's just funny. Like, I willingly will watch some of this stuff.
Chris from China, formerly in China. Before all else, want to congratulate you guys. I'm happy to have discovered your podcast in early 2011, my first being the Auto-Tune Review and Impact. Following you guys from the U.S. to being in China and now back in the U.S. again, I've downloaded nearly all episodes I could and listened to them all. There are a rare few that I couldn't find, but I enjoy everything I hear from you both. Here's to another great year. Two questions. First, you must give Kenta a new name upon arrival in WWE. You cannot let him keep his previous name. What would you name him? I think we went over this. Dennis Ng. Professor Dennis Ng. Second, a more personal one. May I please get a shout-out for my wife? Would this be Schwan?
Yeah, I think so.
Who embarks on a journey as a flight attendant. We've both come a long way back to the U.S. together. Now she will have a dream job flying around the world. Well, congratulations.
What up? What's up, Schwan?
Is this a one-way flight attendant? Is she just going to leave and not come back?
I hope not.
Well, all the best travels.
This guy also keeps a podcast count.
This is great.
Of all our podcasts.
He's got his count, has 211 reviewer Raws.
This is as of August 21st.
179 Impacts, 3 review of SmackDowns, 1 review America, and 256 review Aways.
Okay, let me just do some quick math on that. What was that again?
Okay, we've got 211,
uh-huh.
256,
uh-huh.
179,
uh-huh.
And 4.
Plus, let's add, like, okay, whatever, 650.
Jesus Christ,
that's not even that much. To be honest,
that's all minimum an hour.
Yeah, I guess
minimum.
I'm a little disappointed. I feel like we would have hit 1,000 by now.
Okay, I'm gonna read one more, and then we're gonna break, and then we're gonna We're going to do what TNA would do with like their pay-per-view events on Spike, where they prolong it to another show to just capitalize on people having to come back.
Yeah.
So the last one for part one of feedback is from Chris in Ottawa. Congratulations, John, on 5 years. You've given me moments I'll always remember, like John rescheduling dental appointments, Way's dry heaves, and Gordon. I was really hoping Gordon would be on this show. I'll continue to dream. Brawl for All was the damnedest thing in the history for Raw. For that, it deserves nothing less than a perfect 10 out of 10.
I mean, Gordon on the show, I feel like that's a lot to ask.
That's ridiculous. The man, yeah. The man is ultra busy.
He's a really busy guy.
He's always working.
I
haven't even talked to Gordon in a long time. Have you? How is Chi Shu?
I haven't spoken to him in a long time, but... Hey, dog, how's it going?
Hey, good, good. How you doing?
Hey, Gordon.
Hey, Gordon. What's up, man?
Yeah, what's up?
We just want to know if you're around this weekend, if you want to hang out and get some beers after Wei competes in a jiu-jitsu tournament.
No.
No?
No, sorry.
Why not?
I got a weekend commitment already.
Weekend commitment? Are you working? Gordon, you need days off.
Yeah, I know I'm working, yes.
Are you working right this minute?
Yeah, literally 7 days every week on the summertime.
Oh, it's not the summer now. It's September. We're into the fall. You need some balance, Gordon.
I understand. Okay, all right, Paul. That's all right. I have to hang up now because I'm actually in a customer's house.
In a customer's house?
All right, okay.
Okay.
We won't bother you. Hey, we just had some listeners actually request that you come on the show, and so we decided to give you a call. So do you have anything you want to say to our audience for our 5th anniversary show?
Sorry, guys, man. I appreciate this, but... Sorry, busy man still, huh? Okay.
Don't apologize. We'll talk to you later, Gordon.
Bye-bye.
Some very fine words to our audience.
Sorry.
Sorry, everybody.
What a guy.
What an appropriate response for this show.
Sorry.
Sorry, everybody.
Okay, that's going to bring an end to this week's edition of Review Away. Next week on the show, Way, what would you like to review?
Wow, this would be the second episode of the season.
Yes, this was our season premiere.
Or is that even... Yeah, okay, yeah. You know what?
Just take a look at what I have.
Here we go. Let's do...
Pick a fall brawl, maybe, for September.
Fall brawl, okay.
You just had one.
Yeah.
You had one particular year's fall brawl.
This is John's VHS collection.
This actually is a tape that Dan Lavransky gave to me. Fall Brawl 96. So the NWO had just kicked off that summer, and this will be the Fall Brawl.
Fall Brawl 96. How's it going, by the way, with your VHS?
It's going. Transfer? It's going. I'm getting there.
How many tapes do you think you have here?
There's probably 100 here.
If people could only see what I see. I've taken like a photo of it on Instagram, but it doesn't even count.
A gross invasion of my privacy. Okay, we're going to wind things down. Feedback, if we didn't get to your feedback today, we will get to it on Thursday on Review and Impact. We're not going to ask for your feedback for Impact because we don't care this week. We're going to just double up
we're
on...
We're going to talk about us.
We're going to talk about us. Way more engaging. So that's coming up on Thursday. Next week, we'll review Fall Brawl 96. And then on The Law this Sunday night, the Young Bucks are going to stop by to chat about the Meltzer driver.
I'm speechless.
And Wei will have the video up next week so people can see them in video form as well, correct?
Yes.
Awesome. All right. Thanks to all of you for leaving your feedback. We hope you got through this review. We hope you liked it. It was something different. Pluses and minuses. You always learn. So we will wind things down. LiveAudioWrestling.com, and we'll chat with you later this week.
Bart Gunn! Woo! Dr. Roma Scavenger already tending the bar!
Here is your